Money is only a tool. It will take you wherever you wish, but it will not replace you as the driver. That is a quote by Ayn Rand. G'day and welcome to the Hidden Life Podcast. This is episode 539, my solo rant. G'day and welcome to the Hidden Life Podcast. How the heck are ya? How are you guys? Thank you for tuning into this episode, my solo rant, episode 539. Guys, today my solo rant is an interview that I was included in on the Richer Soul podcast with Rocky Lalvani. So he is a wealth coach. He is the founder of richersoul.com and also the host of the Richer Soul podcast. So he invited me on for an interview, and I just thought I'd share it with you. It's my thoughts on money, and it's really not me talking about how to create wealth or how to live with greater money success. It's really about my thoughts on money and what it means to living a rich, meaningful life. And really, I take you on my journey and experience with money as well in this episode. So Rocky himself, he helps people who have financial success utilize their money to live a life of abundance. He is the millionaire guy next door, and he did start out with nothing. Basically, when he was 2 years old, he migrated to the United States in search of the American dream. And in spite of a lot of struggles, his mum passed away when he was 7, he has been able to achieve financial success, and he wants to share what he has learned along the way with others so others can reach and achieve financial success in their own way as well. So that's what he's all about, and that's why he had me on this podcast to share my thoughts about money, wealth creation, and what it means in efforts to live a meaningful, purposeful, passionate, happy life. So these are my thoughts, guys. Enjoy this show. Talk soon.
Today, we're going to the land down under, Australia, to visit with the Hidden Why Guy, Lee Martinuzzi, and learn how he views money and life beyond money. Today's guest is Lee Martinuzzi, who is the author of The Ultimate Life Map and founder of The Hidden Why. He's a philosopher, thought leader, mentor, author, speaker, researcher, and student of psychology, neuroscience, and human behavior. He's passionate about creating lives that dissolve suffering and regret in favor of liberation, fulfillment, and happiness. As an expert in lifestyle design, leadership, productivity, and self-awareness, he inspires, educates, and assists others via speaking, mentoring, writing, and podcasting. He has a background in marketing management, human behavior, executive leadership, sales, teaching, and hospitality. He lives on the Sunshine Coast of Australia. You can visit him online at The Hidden Why or leemartinuzzi.com. And I'll have those links in the show notes. Lee, like me, is on a journey to master himself and help others to do the same. The core is knowing yourself and your why. In other words, what's your purpose? No one can tell you how to live your life because you have unique skills and desires. We can help you with the basic principles of building a fulfilling life with passion and purpose. Lee has a new book that helps you create your particular compass to guide your life. It's amazing how we can be on opposite sides of the world and share so much in common. Let's meet Lee and see why. Welcome to Richer Soul, Lee. It's great to have you join us today.
Yeah, good to be here, mate. Thank you for having me.
All the way from Australia. That's cool.
Yeah, nice warm day down here, mate. I'm assuming it's cold where you are.
It is cold. We just had a freezing cold spell here that was way, way down below zero. So we always like to start at the beginning. What was it like when you were growing up, and how much did your family and school teach you about money?
Yeah, so what was it like when I was growing up? I'm the youngest of four kids. You know, I consider my life quite fortunate. My family are in business, so they had businesses of their own, both my mother and a father. There was plenty of money around, it seemed. So that was my sort of environment that I was in. I was surrounded by money. And really, being the youngest, I always had this interest in money and really dependency, you know, because I believed money could buy me that freedom. And that's something that I can sort of relate to from a very young age. And I was just very ambitious to get out there and make my own money. So I did that. I used to clean alleyways for my dad's restaurant. He had a big long alleyway beside his restaurant. I used to hose that out for $2.
took me a few hours. I used to make trinkets, like little I'm very crafty and good with my hands, so I used to make little trinkets and stuff with my hands and sell them at primary school to all the other kids, saying that I'm the richest. I was the richest kid in grade 7 at the time. So that's my experience with money. I guess it was around me. I had this ambition to go after and get it because I believed it could buy me that level of freedom. And I've always had a high work ethic, I suppose. So, my first job was when I was 13, which was under the age limit, which was 13, 9 months. So I started a bit early and worked for a restaurant washing dishes on my weekend. So I washed Saturday and Sunday from 8 a.m. till 6 p.m., I think it was, and used to get $54 for the weekend of work, and that would buy me enough to buy, a Mighty Ducks hat or something like that, maybe an ice cream cone from McDonald's, and the rest I'd put into my bank to save up for things that I desired. So that's my memory of money at a young age.
How did that happen? Because that's not the normal upbringing of a kid. Is it something your parents taught you, or is it just something natural to the way you are?
I don't really think anything's natural in that sense. Perhaps it was just because I was surrounded by my parents. I remember going into work with my mum or father to their businesses, and I used to sit there and they'd just do their work. But there was no connection to money or talk about money as such then. It was just I saw perhaps how they used money and how they used it to create the lifestyle that they lived. And I wanted that for myself. I wanted to be able to create that myself. So I think that's where it's really come from. Not really taught, but really observed, if that makes sense.
It does, because I always say kids never listen to you. What they do is they observe you. And it's from watching you that they learn, not from what you say, from what you do. It sounds like you learned from what your parents did.
That's certainly what I did. And perhaps I had more involvement in that because I've got three older brothers and we're all different in our relationship with money. Perhaps because I was the youngest and my brothers, started going to school, and perhaps by that stage my mum was able to go back into business and things like that as well. So perhaps I just observed it a little bit more closely than they did. I'm not sure. But certainly that's how I guess it's come about.
So what are you doing to teach your kids about money?
Good question. I sort of haven't really gone down that path too much yet. I've got two young girls. The oldest is just about to turn 6 and the youngest is just about to turn 3. So I suppose we just sort of teach them in a way that shows them that money is to be respected and to be used wisely. It doesn't grow on a tree necessarily. We just sort of teach them that wise respect, but also try not to create a scarcity, in their mindset. Try to allow them to see that there's more to be made and more to be had, but, how we use it needs to be a conscious process. I don't really, haven't really focused too much on how we do that, but that's probably a very brief answer on how we perhaps are doing that at the moment.
We've found in the handful of people that have been intentional, a lot of them start right around that 5-year-old age to kind of put money in the kids' hands and then let them start to learn how to use it and make choices. So your kids...
Yeah, my wife's pretty good at that. She does most of that thing.
Very cool.
By, rewarding them with money for the work they do. And they've, my oldest anyway has got a little savings purse where she puts her money in, and she's got a little bank account, and she knows that, if she saves the money, she can buy a new dress or something like that. So that's the starting point of it. Yeah.
So you
I'd
want
like
to
sort of delve into more. Yeah, I'd like to delve into more of, how she can do things that she enjoys to make money, things that she's passionate about. And, that will come probably in the next couple of years when she gets into school and starts thinking about these things. But that's what I'd really like to do, is show her that, you can do things to bring in more money and then, buy more things that you desire or create more freedom in your life. So that's where I'd like to go.
That's very cool. So you also have a podcast. It's called The Hidden Why. What is that all about?
About how to live life more fully and how to create more meaning, freedom, fulfillment, and happiness in life, and really how to alleviate the suffering. I suppose that's it in a nutshell. It didn't start that way. It's developed. It's been going for 2 years now. And certainly I've developed along that journey with it. And really it's a personal journey. I started it because I started delving into the investment of personal development and really trying to improve myself. And that is the journey of the Hidden Why. And what I want to do now is to inspire, educate, and assist others to do that, to alleviate the suffering in their lives and to live with more an abundance of, you know, freedom, fulfillment, and happiness. So that's what it's really all about in a summary.
And what was it that started you on that path? How did you decide? Did you start 2 years ago, or was that you started earlier and that's when you started to share?
No, I probably, and again, I'm not sure on the exact time frames, but probably 4 years ago, I started listening to podcasts, a little bit longer than that maybe, and really started to read again. You know, I was just a little bit lost. I went down the common paths in life. So I went to university and got jobs, and I just found myself, you know, in an occupation. I went from one job to another, and I loved them all. I had great experiences, great learnings. I've got a large skill set now because of the various job backgrounds that I've had, including the university degree that I've held. So that's beneficial for my life now. But I just always like to have change in my life. I like to keep things fresh and keep things moving forward. And I got to a point where I was in real estate sales. And I remember clearly I was riding on my scooter. So I bought a scooter so I could deliver my own flyers. So I delivered about 5,000 flyers a week to homes to market myself. And so I did that. And about halfway through on this particular day, I stopped and pulled my helmet off and just sat there and reflected on life. And I just couldn't make sense of what I was doing. It didn't, you know, as I reflected on the future and where this would take me after 30, 40 more years, I just, you know, what I was doing, you know, driving around a scooter is not that enjoyable, as you can imagine, in the hot Australian sun. Mind you, I try to make the most of it by listening to podcasts, but not only just the task, you know, process of it, because not all the things we do in life are going to be enjoyable, but just, you know, what meaning was it giving me? And I couldn't make sense of that. It wasn't giving me any greater fulfillment in my life. And that's when I sort of, you know, and it was about that time when I joined real estate, I started actually listening to podcasts as I started educating myself on how to become an effective real estate agent. So that's when I was introduced to podcasts and motivational stuff because, you know, in real estate, you get a lot of rejections. So it's important to stay motivated and positive. So that's where I found podcasts very beneficial. And I started to blog about it as well. So all those things combined then led me to starting to do this podcast and really start to share my learnings and experiences. And it was that moment on the scooter where I decided to pursue it, you know, more full time and really dedicate myself to the Hidden Why, because I just wanted to find more meaning in my life and really to do stuff that I was passionate about. Because I'm just living a life where you get to the end and you've been doing stuff that really hasn't brought you that greater sense of joy. It just doesn't make much sense to me. I don't think anyone that wakes up day after day in a state of unease or suffering deserves that. I think we all deserve a deeper state of happiness and joy. And that was really something that I was very conscious about and still am very conscious about. You know, every day when I wake up, I'm motivated now. I get out of bed at 5 o'clock in the morning most days. Yes, I'm not perfect, but most days I'll do that. And that's just because I have this passion for life now. And it's really because I just want to do things that I enjoy. I want to have new experiences and continue my learning and growth. And that's my motivation. That's what keeps me going. So I think that's why The Hidden Why exists, and that's how it came to be, and that's sort of where I am today, if that has answered your question.
It has. Are you still involved in real estate, or have you gotten away from that?
No, I jumped ship after that day. I started to think about different things, and this actually led us to Japan. So we went away probably a month or so after that. We went down to Tasmania, which is south of Australia, a little island down south here, and we had about, I don't know, it was 3 or 4 weeks off. And I remember I was just driving through the countryside. It was quite a nice day. We just had a newborn at the time and our eldest daughter with us in the car. And we were just driving through this, I remember like a big sort of cedar kind of forest, driving up this big stretch long road. And we were just talking and thinking about things. And I said to my wife, I said, why don't we do something different? Why don't we just, you know, pack it up and leave and go on a trip and have that sort of experience? Because we both love traveling. And I think it's important for everyone. Value in life, and as a couple, it's really important to have shared values as well. So a couple of years prior to that, did a shared values session where we talked about, you know, my values, her values, and then came up with our family values. So we're talking about that, and you know, the values tick the boxes. We said, well, yeah, you know, we're not quite content with our life at the moment. I wasn't too happy with the real estate work. Not that I was unhappy with it, but it was, you know, I wanted something more. We both love travel, so we said, well, let's just see what opportunities are out there and see if we can head overseas somewhere. We didn't have Japan at top of mind, but yeah, an opportunity came there for Japan, and that's when I decided to finish my real estate career, which is a hard decision for anyone to make, and yeah, take that leap of faith. And we did. We sold up our house, we sold most of our possessions, packed everything up, that we wanted to keep and put it in a container and ship the family overseas to Japan. And we've just returned back to Australia in the last couple of weeks. So it was a good 2 years over there. And yeah, just a great lifestyle. I got to really, I got to write my next book, which is called The Ultimate Life Map. So I spent a fair bit of my time doing that. I got to improve, you know, on the Hidden Why and my podcast and techniques there. And I also got to do some rewarding work over there as well for a private charity, a volunteer organization called UNESCO, which was a sort of niche UNESCO business where I got to teach children, which was fantastic. Yeah, so really good experience. And that's what I think life is about, is having those experiences, you know, keep changing things up. If it's not quite right, if it's not feeling good, if you're not having that level of joy that you desire, then change it up, have a new experience, you know, go out there and find it. And that doesn't mean you have to change jobs or quit your job or change careers by any stretch of the imagination. You can just do new things. You know, every day you can do what you do typically in a day a little bit differently, or perhaps even go out there and have a new experience. It's like, I don't know, go try surfing or something like that.
Was that scary to just sell off your house, pack everything up and go? I mean, it's not something people do every day from country to country.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I like it. I really enjoy it, which sounds strange, doesn't it? But yeah, no, it was. It was, you know, a bit daunting. I think the sunk cost investment, I think they refer to it as. But, you know, after 3 years of investing in real estate, like I spent thousands of dollars in seminars and books and courses and coaches to help me improve in that industry and learn so I could become a good agent. And not to mention the business costs that I invested in as well. And the time cost, you know, 3 years of that investment, that's a big chunk of your time. And, you know, if I continued it for another 6 years, it would have been even harder. But I just have to look at the pros and cons and say, well, you know, the new experience, it may not work out, you know, it might not be exactly the outcome that we want. It may be better. So who knows? But what I did know is that my life in that experience at the moment wasn't taking me towards the life that I really desired to live. And that's where I just had to say, well, you know, that's an investment. It's experience. I can't regret that experience because there was a lot of learnings. But let's the change. Let's not fear what might happen, because I knew, you know, I always reflect on worst case scenario. I knew I wouldn't end up in the gutter. I don't think I'd end up in the gutter drinking gutter water and being without a home. And, you know, even if that did happen, would that be such a bad thing? I think, you know, most of the stuff that we do, the changes that we have, the decisions we need to make aren't going to take us to a place of extreme poverty or death. And so you just got to sometimes jump on these things. And yeah, it was scary. We, you know, you have to do your risk analysis and calculate pros and cons. But once you do all that, that really helps you accept the decision you've made and then move forward with it, you know, in an effective manner.
Did you get a lot of pushback from friends and family?
No, not really. Most people in my circle supported me. There was probably a little bit, but not significantly. I think people probably have their own, you know, judgments and perceptions of it all, you know, whether it was a good move or a bad move, you know. Selling an investment, selling a property. You know, a lot of people have the idea that you need a property and you have to own a home to live a life. And certainly that's what I used to think. I've changed my mindset and all that now. But yeah, no, not too much pushback.
So you said you've changed your mindset now. Looking forward, how are you thinking differently? What's this new mindset look like?
Well, around, you know, possessions and money, so a lot since I was, you know, my teen years to my early 20s, where it was all about money, you know, making money. And you know, even investments, I started investing in properties. And so we had three investment properties not long before we left to Japan, you know, to build up that wealth, to work, you know, work, make money, invest it back into property, the shares and things like that. And I don't think it's a bad option. It's just no longer is right for me. And so really my mindset now is, yeah, money is good, but it's not the most important factor. I think, you know, trying to design your life that allows you to live in every moment with greater joy is what's most important. And if you can do that, I think your ability to make money will be much more enhanced anyway, because usually what we do is we do it in backwards. We go after the money and then we get a job and then we sort of try to design our life around that. And that's when we find ourselves, you know, just upset and dissatisfied with our life, because we're working in jobs perhaps that we don't like, working really hard for someone else. Yeah, we make money and then we buy stuff, you know, like TVs and houses and, you know, new couches. And you see it everywhere on people's visions board. They got these big visions of big mansions and pools and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, I used to want all that, but now I really, you know, yeah, if it happens, if it comes, then maybe I want it, but I don't think I do. You know, I'm really happy with a minimalist sort of lifestyle where I can just have, you know, the things that are necessary for me to live in joy. You know, I don't need all that extra stuff now. And with that in mind, that sort of reduces the amount of money you need as well, and reduces the pressure off you to, you know, have to go out there and chase it rather than just allow it to come and use it as best you can, if that makes sense. So, yeah, my mindset around money and possessions has certainly changed. I don't think we need it all. I still own an investment property, sorry, but we're not looking to buy a house. We're happy to rent for the time being. We may one day again buy a house. It'll probably be a house that we design ourselves, not a mansion, but just one that a nice office where I can do my podcasting and writing from, you know, just simple things. So, I think the whole notion of consumption, we just always want more, more, more. And I think that really leads to a deeper sense of suffering in many people's lives. So that's something that I'm quite conscious of and try to, you know, remove myself from. And again, I'm not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but I think it's quite important.
You know, it's quite surprising because that is kind of the American way. And it now sounds like it's the Australian way on the other side of the world. Did you experience the same thing in Japan, or did they have a different philosophy there towards life?
No, they're still very traditional in Japan. My boss was a great example of it. He's 70 now. He's just a machine. He works. He loves money. He just loves making money. He has a few days off a year for a holiday, short holidays, 3 days to 5 days, whereas I'm used to, you know, 4 weeks would be good. The culture there is very traditional still. I think the younger people, yeah, do have more of a sense for family and really, you know, enjoying their time while they're here.
Since you've started the podcast, what are some surprising things you've learned from this journey?
Surprising things.
And maybe surprising things about other people as they've contacted you and talked to you and asked you questions.
I could probably share a few of the things that I think are most fundamental to us all that I've learned, and that might be beneficial. So the first one that I learned from doing my own podcasting and listening to other podcasts is the art of developing awareness through mindfulness and meditation. So that is, most people that I speak to have some sort of mindfulness or meditative practice in their life. And for me personally, it's the one that has made probably the most impact on my life. And that's just for my practice includes in the mornings. And again, I'm not perfect when I'm out of routine, which I am at the moment. I don't stick to it or adhere to it daily, but certainly when I'm back in routine, it's a daily practice in the morning for about 15 to 20 minutes. In the evening, I started up as well for about 15 minutes in the evenings as my closing routine. That's one thing that I've learned that I guess is surprising, and to a lot of people that might still sound surprising, like, yeah, a little bit skeptical about the value of it, but it is amazingly valuable. If I could look at anything that I've changed in the last 4 years, that has been the one practice that I will stick with and that I believe and would highly recommend to anyone starting. So as surprising as that might sound, sitting there and makes a big difference to the quality of life you can live. So that is one of them. Other than that, a couple of the other things that I would recommend that perhaps aren't surprising, but are certainly things that we just have to get our head around is, number one is growth. Always try to look every day for how you can improve and grow and learn. It's a fundamental life principle. I've created the Ultimate Life Map, which is included in that. And growth is one of those areas that we just need to invest in. That's the best investment that anyone can make is in themselves. So what are you doing every day to improve on that? So that was certainly something that I didn't do 4 or 5 years ago. I wasn't really invested in my own personal development. Everything I invested in was external, extrinsic. It was sort of a need for an external level of happiness. And once I started investing internally, that's when I found greater internal happiness. And I think it's really important. So, invest in yourself and have that growth mindset as best as you can every day. And the other one would be really just to take care of your health. Again, not surprising. Mental and physical health is absolutely important. If you're poisoned in it, they're going to be your life and your quality of life will definitely be impacted on. So really having a conscious mindset around how you can really improve your health every day as well. And again, I've come from very bad health and stupid habits that I'm not proud of, but certainly, you know, conscious of it now. And always every day I wake up, I try to think about how I can really nourish my body and mind in a more positive way and relieve myself of those things that aren't positive for my body and mind.
That's very similar to what we've talked about in the past. Here is exercise program, the type of food that you put into your mouth. Unfortunately, in the United States, everything has become kind of corporately made. And so even though it looks good or it sounds good, the actual ingredients behind it aren't what are best designed for our bodies and for our health. And then creating that routine to get your body in movement and doing things. And then just having the time. I agree with you. You know, being able to sit and just think is an amazing thing. And I've heard stories even about business people. If business people would stop and think for 15 minutes a day about their business, they would see dramatic improvement in their business. Because too often they're just stuck in the emergency of the moment. And they're not thinking about the big picture, and they're not making those big picture decisions. And if you just spend a little time doing that, from the sounds of what you're doing, it's not like you're spending an inordinate amount of time. Just a small amount of time thinking about your life makes a dramatic difference.
Yeah, it helps you really clear out the chaos and the clutter. I mean, you look at people's lives these days, there's just, we take on too much, and we do it because we think we have to, you know. We fear vulnerability, and we want to keep up with everyone else, and we think by doing more, we will be more. And it's actually causing the opposite effect, I think. And that's really been my change and transition in the last probably year and a half, is really just to remove the amount of stuff that I think I have to do, that I do, remove the amount of stuff that I consume, remove the amount of stuff that I need to think about. It's just as simple as talking about it or writing it down, getting it out of my head. Then just not attaching myself to those thoughts as well. Again, it all comes back to a minimalist sort of lifestyle, but not in the sense of what we own and our possessions, but about everything. And I learned this in real estate. There's just a whole list of stuff that I had to do every day. And what I realized, you know, the Pareto principle, 80-20 rule, is that most of the stuff I did wasn't giving me any of the results I wanted. I just had to start saying, get rid of it, remove it from your life. And you won't be searching for it because it's not necessary. It doesn't give you any results. And you'll just forget about it pretty easily. The key is just doing that, removing the clutter, clearing out the closet, and just focusing on the few things that really bring the most joy to your life. And if you can do that every day, you're going to live a great life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You listen to some of the same people that I do. One of those is Tony Robbins. And just out of curiosity, what have you learned from Tony?
So much. He's great, actually. I just listened to him the other day, and I listened to his episode before. It was an interview he did on the James Altucher. And I must have heard it probably 12 months ago. Anyway, I went for a jog in the morning, and I came across it, and I thought, oh, I'll just listen to that again. And it was just so inspirational, and it just really made me think about my life, and because I've gone through that change at the moment. It was just really timely to have that come in. For Tony, he was all about the accomplishments and achievements, and he's had that big transition recently about creating more fulfillment and making sure that what you do in life, it's not all about the achievements and the accomplishments that you have. It's about living a fulfilled life. I think you can learn a lot from him now when he talks about that sort of thing. But one of the things that he said to me some time ago, it was, I do not negotiate with my mind. Just that one thing, I do not negotiate with my mind, is so powerful. And when you think about it, we so often negotiate with our mind. You find yourself in a battle of procrastination and letting your mind win. But you know, if you're committed to waking up at 5 o'clock to go for a jog, that's what you bloody well do. You know, you don't let your mind win on that and say, I'm going to sleep in. As he says, it's a practice that takes a lot of time and a lot of effort. But once it becomes a practice, you're in control then. You're more in control. When I think about going for a swim, for example, I'm a swimmer, so I like going for a swim. And I go, oh, you know, maybe I don't really feel like going, because no one, you know, we often don't feel like doing certain things because it's uncomfortable, out of the way, et cetera, inconvenient. But when I have that thought come in, I say, no, I'm in control here. And this is something that I do because I know how well it makes me feel, how good it makes me feel, and how much benefit it brings my life. So I'm not going to allow my mind to control that. I'm going to win, and I'm going to be in control. I do not negotiate with my mind, at top of my mind. So when those things come in and you start acting unintegral to what you say you want to do, then that can help, hopefully.
Most of the things in life are so simple and yet so hard. And that's so simple. I don't negotiate with my mind. It's so simple and yet so hard. And I think another person that you listen to is Tim Ferriss. What have been your major takeaways from Tim?
Yeah, I listen to often. I love his podcast. I've just received his new book, Tribe of Mentors. So I look forward to reading that. I sort of flicked through and I was just going, oh, look at all these people that you can learn from. So, yeah, plug for Tim Ferriss there, but get a copy of that book for sure. So, yeah, I learned a lot from Tim Ferriss. I suppose, you know, just asking questions is what he's really powerful at, and perhaps looking at how you can do things differently. Yeah, I guess it's one thought that came, actually. I just did an interview with Dan Ariely, who's the author of Payoff and his new book, Dollars and Cents, and he sort of brought it up as well. But, you know, waking up each day and looking at what you do each day, and you don't have to not do it or do something entirely different, but just, hey, how could I do this differently that would make it more easy and perhaps increase the result? And that's something that really helps in life. Like recently, I've just been looking for accommodation and there's not much available at the moment. And I thought, I just sat in my office going, well, what can I do? Like, what's another option for me? I thought, hey, why not look on Airbnb and reach out to some people on Airbnb for a longer term lease for a reduced price? So, you know, just using that thought about how could I do this differently to get the same result, or if not a better result, that's going to be less of a time suck or energy suck. So I think that's what you can learn from Tim Ferriss's powerful questions and looking at things a little bit differently.
That's the thing. If you stop and say, if I can't do X, how else can I solve this problem? And just throw 10 different things out there and try them, you might be surprised at the results you get. There are numerous ways to find housing far above and beyond just going out and renting a house or buying a house. There's so many different options. Too often we get stuck in the moment instead of taking the moment to breathe and say, what else is possible? When you understand there are other possibilities, then the whole world opens up to you and you have the ability to do that.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're so closed in our approach to life, aren't we? And if you could just stop and think and go, well, how could I tackle this a little bit differently? You'd be amazed what you could come up with. And then it's just a matter of acting on it and going and doing it.
The question that I always ask is, there are so many people out there who want to change, but don't. I don't think someone else can get someone to change. They've got to change themselves. But how can we help people to get on that path to make that change? Because honestly, most people aren't doing what you and I are doing.
Yeah, it's a question that I always ask myself, mate. And I don't know if I have the answers. I don't know if I ever will, but it's a challenge, isn't it? Because you're right. I don't think we can make anyone change. I think the person's got to want to change and they support that through the right level of motivation and resources and environments to help them with that process once they've committed to it. I think the best thing we can do in our lives, and this comes from many things that I'm sort of doing myself, is just to be integral and do what we say we're going to do. In that approach, lead by example. So those people that are wanting to change, maybe we'll start listening and watching and observing and maybe then be inspired to make a decision to change themselves.
I've struggled with that because I've seen very few people even ask. And when they do ask, they don't seem to like the answers. They continue down the path they continue. And it's one of the things I'm trying to figure out is how do you get people to get to the point where they're willing to make the change, because it has to come from within.
Usually it has to be a place where they reach a point where it's just no longer bearable. In my experience personally, that's where I've been to a couple of times, and it's just sufferable and not nice. And that's when I go, okay, well, I've really got to do something different about this. Anyone out there, you know, day by day, you can, but, you know, as a human, we're quite resilient. And even though our lives might be really sufferable and not nice, we can put up with it because that's just how we're sort of designed, and we can become very complacent and comfortable with that. But if it gets worse and worse and worse, it can get to a point where it's just so unbearable, and then you have that desire to change. Now, again, I don't know how we can encourage them to go from that point to I'm actually going to make change, because I know there's a lot of people out that get to that point and still perhaps know that they want to do something, but just don't know how to or can't be bothered to, because it's really, really difficult. I think, you know, just again, by having positivity around you, energy around you, people that are leading by example around you can certainly inspire that change. But yeah, I don't know how to take them from one level to the next. You know, I look at listening to podcasts for myself. I didn't have to listen to podcasts. I certainly didn't. Like, for example, the Rich Roll podcast, I listened to that one. Listen to that podcast. I was introduced to it by a friend who said, hey, listen to this because you might enjoy this guy. He's pretty inspirational. So I did. I listened to that. And once I heard that interview, I just thought, hey, I like this guy and I like his approach. I'm going to listen to more. So at that time, this was a couple of years ago now, I was a meat eater, not a vegan, and he promotes a vegan lifestyle. But just by listening to his, and his shows aren't all about, you know, vegan lifestyles, etc. His show is really about people that have gone through adversity and come out the other end firing. So just by listening to that, but and learning and listening and learning, eventually got to me where I thought, you know, it's time for me to just try this sort of lifestyle. And that's where I've started. I'm not a vegan in the purest form, but I certainly believe that's the best lifestyle for most of us. And that's the way I want to go. And I certainly don't want to push that on other people because I know it's a hard thing to change. But if I can lead by example and live that lifestyle, and because I know it makes me feel good, that's why I do it. People can then start to see how good it makes me feel. Perhaps then they'll start asking questions and go, okay, well, I'm interested now. What are you doing? You know, why? Maybe then they'll be inspired to maybe try themselves.
Very true. So along the journey, have you had any mentors or coaches that have helped you? And if so, how so?
I think all the mentors that we've just discussed, they're definitely people I consider mentors. So there's a bunch of them. That's just through ideas and suggestions, practices that they share. The inspiration and motivation is always important too. The positivity that you get from listening to them, reading their books, etc., is always helpful. On a personal one-to-one coaching sort of level, I've had a few coaches to help me with certain things. In real estate, I had a coach there. I had two coaches there, actually. They certainly helped me learn skill and improve my techniques around sales, presentations, marketing, etc. I've had a business coach as well who helped me just really flesh out ideas, you know, because often by yourself you can get stuck and get into roadblocks. It's sometimes, again, hard to get through what's already in your mind to find different solutions. So just by sharing it and talking with a coach can really help.
So you have a new book coming out. And it is, I cannot give you the map, but I can help you define your life compass so you can navigate your life with greater purpose towards living with more freedom, fulfillment, and happiness. What is that all about?
Yeah, the book title is The Ultimate Life Map, so the paths towards freedom, fulfillment, and happiness. The book is about how to go about creating that life with greater freedom, fulfillment, and happiness. So I've designed a map as such, a template, a blueprint that can help people with that. So it's really about, number one is really understanding your why. So what's your innate purpose, your purpose, what defines you. And that includes things like your values, your skills, your desires, your needs, etc.
So let's hang out there, because this is an area that I feel a lot of people struggle with, is
yep.
knowing their purpose. And yep. the amount of people who are clear on this is very small. And so I think this is powerful. Do you have tools in there? Or do you have ideas to help people be able to figure out their purpose?
Yeah, certainly. I share a lot of thought. And that's really what the book is about helping other people figure it out. Because I can't give you your map. You have to draw out your own map. I can just guide you. And that's what really the book is, a guide. Defining your purpose. I think a lot of people hang out in this place that I need to find my purpose and I can't really live this life that I want to live without knowing that purpose first. And I think they're waiting for the answers to come to them. And that's not what it's about in life. You know, you've got to go out there and take action. You've got to go out there and experience things and do different things and really search for it yourself. And then it will come. And if it's not right, if it's not feeling good, if it's not really what you're all about, then change it. Let it go. Move on to other things and just keep doing that until you find it. That's for me the key. I think some people will find it earlier. Some people perhaps, you know, run into it in their late teens, early 20s, where they just find something that just really lights them up and it takes them on this journey that is all about purpose and meaning. other people it takes a lot of time. I'm 36 now and still, you know, figuring life out. So it's constantly about connecting with what you value, you know. Think about what you value, and that will change as life progresses as well. Think about your skills. What are your skills, and how does that define who you are, and what skills do you want to learn and become proficient at? Usually that's, you know, a big mindset thing. We think we're not good at something, but it's just about, you know, putting our time and attention towards it, and we can develop any skill that we want in life. It's understanding our needs, you know, what are our needs and our desires. And there is a difference between needs and desires. And I think a lot of us think we need more than we actually need. And, you know, to making that realization is really important to developing your why as well. The other ones I talk about is, you know, what are your dreams and your visions of the future, et cetera. Those elements all defined our why and our purpose. And then we can use that, once we're a bit more connected with that, to help guide us in certain areas of life. And I talk about life principles. Those principles are the areas of health, relationships, growth. So they're the fundamental principles that I think we all need to focus on. And you need to look at, you know, your why and your values and everything I've just discussed to help guide you within each of those areas. So, you know, what's my values and how can I look at that from, you know, improving my health every day, every week, every year? And how can I constantly grow in that respect? The other ones I talk about is significance, and they're just slipping my mind at the moment. But yeah, significance is one of them that I talk about a lot often. You know, how can you develop more significance in your life? That's really the process of the book, and I just explain it from my perspective and my experience and my journey. I go in there to refer to a lot of books and research that I've done over the course of the years. So I refer to a lot of different books and research articles in the book as well. And hopefully at the other end, people can have something they can take away and go, okay, well, I'm going to start developing this and use it to really guide my life in the way I want to guide it.
The biggest mistake a lot of people do is that they try to get a ready-made map. And the problem is it's someone else's map. It's not your map. So it's not going to take you where you want it to go. You're following someone else, and that's not you.
Yeah, well, that's right. I think we all, as far as our why and our purpose, we don't develop it from an internal perspective. We look externally for what everyone else is doing and how they're doing it, and we use that to develop ourselves. And that takes us away from our, I guess, without sounding cheesy, but our authentic self. I think that's the one we create, and then we use that to create this map. And then we've created this big map in life that we go, hang on, this is not really bringing me much joy at all. And it's because we haven't been guided internally. And I think that's the biggest thing, is really becoming more mature in how we guide our lives. And what I say is really connecting with that intrinsic driving force rather than being controlled by the external environment and others in life. I think that's really important. And, you know, for me, that's how I was driven. I thought I had to go to university and get a degree and follow those paths towards making money and buying houses and settling down with the family, blah, 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 all that sort of stuff. I realized it wasn't the path for me. That's not the way I wanted to go, and it wasn't bringing me a greater sense of freedom, fulfillment, and happiness. If anything, it was doing the opposite. I felt less free because I was locked into work that I didn't really, you know, I didn't not enjoy it, but there was certain aspects that wasn't bringing me much joy. I felt locked into that. Making the money then allowed me to invest in properties and have mortgages and debt, and that locked me further into that job and again, reduced my level of freedom. I couldn't move freely about. I couldn't just pack up and go traveling, and that's what I really loved. A lot of these paths we follow that are really guided by these external factors limit us in our freedom, fulfillment, and happiness. And that's certainly where I ended up. And that's why I created this template based on removing myself from it to create more freedom, fulfillment, and happiness. And yeah, it seems a bit crazy and it seems a bit weird. Even me talking about it sounds a bit strange, to be honest. But I really think you can live a much greater life, and you don't have to follow the common paths that everyone follows. That is sticking with the status quo, and nothing changes in the status quo. The big movers, the big shakers, are people that think differently, do things differently, and challenge what is the norm. And I think if you do that in your own life, then you will be that person, you know, the big mover, the shifter, the shaker, the one that lives a totally unique and amazing life.
That is a question that comes up. Does it have to be this big, amazing life, in the sense of, do we have to change the world? Do we have to influence a million people? Or can we have a much smaller, simpler purpose?
Yeah. Whatever you want, whatever you desire. I think because we're so surrounded by social media and other people's lives and stuff, we all think we have to be rock stars. And that's cool. I think it's nice to have big dreams, but I think if you're trying to chase that constantly, it can be really, really draining and really sufferable. So just to let go of that, just really connecting with the lifestyle that you want to live and living it as humbly as you can, you'll still have a heck of a good lifestyle. But I think by chasing that expectation of that, you know, rock star lifestyle is actually just going to cause you more suffering in the process and limit your capabilities of really creating that lifestyle that you want. I think it's best to just really connect with what you want in life. You know, simply, how can life be simple and beautiful? Once you get there, perhaps you'll find that, you know, things start flowing into you at a much more higher rate, if that makes sense.
It makes total sense to me. Hopefully it makes sense to those people listening. That's one of the things people don't think about is, what is the cost in the way of time and what you have to give up for a massive dream? And whether or not you really want to pay that price, because it may have much more effects in other parts of your life that you weren't expecting, or it may just flatten other parts of your life and then you're way out of balance. And at which point it all kind of comes crumbling down.
Mm. Yeah, I think just being aware of that, just having that mindfulness and awareness. The top regret of the dying, which was done through a research by Bonnie Ware. She found that the top regret of the dying was that they didn't live a life that they wanted to live. They lived a life defined by what everyone else expected of them. And that's huge, you know, just think about that. Think about the life that you're living now. Is that the life that you want to live? And if it's not, then don't be shy of, you know, going out there and challenging that and changing that. Because I think if you get to the end with that level of regret, it's too late, man. Like, it's too late. So that's what I think about constantly. And I may get it all wrong, but I'd rather get it all wrong trying to live the life that I love than to get to the end going, I did it all wrong and didn't live the life that I loved. If that, you know, if that makes sense.
That makes total sense. And I think one of the things you've talked about a little bit and we've kind of touched on is travel. And I know that you find that travel is quite powerful. How is that so?
It's new experiences. You know, I've talked about that a fair bit. I think the best thing we can all do is to constantly challenge ourselves and have new experiences. And travel does that. It takes you not only out of your immediate environment, but it'll expose you to different experiences that you've never seen or, you know, had before. I think for me, some of the best ones was, you know, going to Southeast Asia, because they're just totally different cultures. How they do things, how they operate is just totally chaotic to the Westerner's eyes. And I think that just really challenges yourself. It takes you out of your comfort zone. It's outside your comfort zone where growth happens, as they say. So it does that. The more new experiences you have, the more likely you're going to be preventing some of the deadly diseases and things like dementia and Alzheimer's. So just by doing new things, and that's why that's good. If you're doing the same thing and stuck in the same environment every day, you're not going to have that level of growth and level of fulfillment, and you're going to actually be causing yourself more harm as far as your longevity in life and well-being goes.
That's a quite interesting correlation that you made there as to the diseases of the mind and how getting out and constantly putting yourself in new situations will hopefully help to alleviate
it. Well, every time you have a new experience, you're creating those neural connections. The more different neural connections and paths that you create in your mind, the better your brain.
And so you've started this journey 4 years ago. You seem to take a big turn 2 years ago. What's next for you?
I don't know. Hopefully a lot. I've got a few ideas at the moment that I'm working on. I'd love to get this book published finally, and I think it'll be a self-published book, so that's the ultimate life map. My goal there is to publish it and then have all funds go towards a charity organization that I help in Uganda, in Africa. It's a school there that they've set up, a guy, Robert, his name is. So shout out to Rob. He's got a charity organization he set up, which is called Greenfield Kids. He's built this school. Like, just an amazing guy. He's a teacher, and he just decided his local community needed a school, and that's what he set out to do, and he's slowly building the school. So I've got a fund going there at the moment to put a roof on one of the schools. He needs more support to develop the whole project, so he's got a big vision for that school. The book, when it's published, that's where all the funds will be used to go towards helping that project. And my goal is to, hopefully through people purchasing the book, is helping those people create more meaningful lifestyles through that purchase, then helping these kids that don't have the opportunities that we take for granted to have better educations and hopefully grow up to lead better lifestyles themselves. So that's my passion and the goal at the moment. I've got a few other goals this year, but really that's the priority.
And that's an amazing priority. And it's wonderful that you're reaching out and helping others, and helping others pays back much more than constantly receiving. That's one of the other things that I've learned on this journey as well.
Yeah, sometimes it takes us a while to realize that. But once you get there, you sort of go, you know what? Why can't I make the difference in someone else's life? And I think if we all could do that every day, then the world would be a greater place.
Absolutely. Is there anything else that we should have talked about today that we haven't covered?
Probably. No, I think we've covered a heck of a lot of detail and a lot of information there. So hopefully the guys can take it away and connect with me. I'd love to make the connection more with any of your listeners if they wish to. I'm always available for a chat. So reach out.
So if people would like to connect with you, what are the best places to find you and the best ways to connect?
The best place to find me is thehiddenwhy.com. I'm setting up a personal website at the moment, which is just my name, leemuntlitzy.com. So depending on when this is launched, it may be up and running as well. But thehiddenwhy.com, my email address is there. You're always guaranteed to connect and talk with me through that email. The other ones, I'm on social media, but I don't really jump on there. If you want to get me on social media, Messenger through Facebook is the way that you'll get me, because I do check that Messenger often. So there's two ways to connect with me and have a listen to my shows. Check out theultimatelifemap.com as well. The book will be coming out soon, so you can subscribe there to the newsletter and stay tuned to when that is published and perhaps get an advanced copy, etc.
Thank you. I'll encourage people to do that, and we'll put all of this in the show notes.
Yeah, cool.
And it was great chatting with you today. Thank you so much for joining us.
It's been a pleasure, Rocky. Thank you.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen, guys and girls. That is my solo rant for this week. Guys, I really hope you enjoyed it. I hope you've received some value. Guys, it is my goal, it's my wish that each of these episodes that I do, you are left feeling a little bit more inspired, perhaps even a little bit more educated. I want to really share with you my thoughts, my perspectives, the things that I'm learning, perhaps even some tools and practices that can help you transition from a life with unease, a life that is sufferable, a life that is maybe filled with hate or regret, to a life that is beautiful, a life that has a deeper sense of joy and happiness present at each moment, regardless of the pleasure or pain that you might be experiencing in that given moment. Guys, if you love The Hidden Why, if you love what I'm doing here, you can support the show in a number of different ways. Firstly, you can subscribe to the podcast and subscribe to my newsletter at thehiddenwhy.com. If you have the time and haven't already, you can leave us a review on iTunes. It's a 1-5-star review with a quick comment. You can also connect with me, guys. I love your feedback. I love your suggestions. I love your comments. So connect with me at thehiddenwhy.com. You can leave comments in any of the show notes that you listen to there. You can also reach me directly through my email address and in any of the social media platforms available there. You can also support the show by using the Amazon links within each of the show notes. And that does help support the show. Guys, that's really it. Other than that, go out there. Breathe more passion into every single moment. Do everything with greater purpose. And in doing so, you will discover your hidden why. You will discover a life with greater meaning, freedom, fulfillment, and happiness. Thank you.